man, runs out to the right.
Still on his feet, now throws, it's good to Lofton.
At the 10, at the 5, touchdown, touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Three-step drop, oh, he is buried, he is sacked. It is Mario Williams back at midfield.
You gotta give me that last whip! You got to give me that last whip!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Throws it downfield, intercepted, picked off by Jarris Bird. The ball hawk with the interception for the Bill.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Tonight on the show, we're live at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. And joining us at 7:30, Canisius High School and Penn State product, John Urschel, one of the offensive linemen at the Combine this week. Chris Brown, the lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com, talks Combine with us at 8 o'clock. And Jim Motis, the Bills Director of Player Personnel, will be with us at 8:30.
This place is pandemonium!
CJ at the 10, 5, touchdown! CJ Spiller, touchdown Buffalo!
This is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This place is anything but pandemonium. We are all set to go. Good evening. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, presented tonight live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Here for the next couple of hours. We'll be here all week long tonight, tomorrow, and Friday night in the studios of WXNT CBS Sports Radio in Indianapolis. Our engineer here, Mike Raby, set us up. We are good to go, and thanks very much for tuning in. You heard the lineup tonight. We want to talk a lot with you tonight because, quite frankly, we're a little bit tired. A little 8-hour drive in the beautiful Toyota minivan all the way down from Buffalo, Orchard Park, early this morning down here to Indianapolis. But we made it safe and sound. Beautiful day to drive. Felt like springtime. 45 degrees here in Indy today. And the entire NFL is converging on this city in the middle of the state of Indiana as they get set for the first day of the Combine tomorrow. And our Combine coverage all week long is presented by Napa Auto Parts. Visit your local Napa Auto Parts store for Napa know-how and all your car care needs. Yep, we're here. We ran into a lot of folks who were just checking in. Today's the big travel day for the Combine. The players begin to go through their sessions tomorrow, and we'll get a chance to talk to some of them tomorrow as the first day of the media availability begins here at the NFL Scouting Combine. It's always exciting. It always feels like the start of something big, and you can talk all you want about the meaning of the Combine, how important it is, what really goes on here. I will say this. There is some important business that takes place here, and I've learned over the years from talking to personnel people, two things are paramount at the Combine. Well, maybe three, but let me start with these two. Number one, the medical testing. Each team will bring their own doctors, and they'll go through medical tests, and they share some of the information. But every single one of these prospects gets the once-over by medical teams from all 32 NFL clubs. So that's important. Anybody coming off an injury, anybody with any kind of a question mark at all, they sometimes uncover hidden conditions. You think back to last year when the big defensive lineman, Star Lotulelei, came up with a heart ailment that put his draft stock in question for a little bit. That's the sort of thing that gets uncovered at the Combine. Number two, I think the second most important thing are the interviews. The nighttime interviews, they'll start tomorrow night at the Crown Plaza Hotel in downtown Indianapolis across the street from Lucas Oil Stadium. Each team sits in a room and waits for the combine prospects that they want to talk to come through over the next three or four nights. 15 minutes apiece, that's all. They blow an air horn. After 15 minutes, the prospects get up, look at their sheet. Where do I go next? I got to go talk to the Philadelphia Eagles now. 15 minutes are up. I got to go talk to the Buffalo Bills. It goes on like that tomorrow night, Friday night, Saturday night, throughout the Combine. And that's one of the things we want to focus on tonight. Those interviews, those meetings from 7 o'clock until just about 11 o'clock every night for the rest of the Combine starting tomorrow night. 15 minutes, it amounts to like speed dating, really. Sit down. We'll talk to you right here. If you had a chance to be in that interview room with the Buffalo Bills Brain Trust, let's say the Bills, let's say they ran a contest and said, we're going to let one lucky fan come in the interview room with us, with head coach Doug Marrone, with general manager Doug Whaley, with the director of player personnel Jim Motis, with Calvin Fisher, the director of college scouting, with the area scouts who might be in that room, maybe Buddy Nix is in that room. If you had a chance to join in that group, what question would you ask those prospects? What would be, if you only got one, what question would you want asked of those prospects. I have a couple of thoughts on that. Keeping in mind, the Bills use those meetings to gauge football intelligence, but obviously it's a chance to meet and greet and to make a first impression. One of the things I'd want to know, and I guess one of the things I would focus on if I were in that room, I would try to get a sense of just how much this guy sitting across the table from us, this 21, 22, 23-year-old guy, how much does he really love football? How much does he understand football? How badly does he want to play? Is he just a great athlete who was able to excel in college and get an invite to the combine and be a draft prospect because he's a tremendous athlete, because he had a decent college career? Does he really want to play? Does he want to take the next step? I'm having trouble framing the questions I would ask to get to the root of that answer, but that to me is the number one issue. How badly do you want it? How badly do you want to play? How willing are you to put in the work to get better? You've made it this far. You're a pretty good player. You're here at the Combine, one of 330 prospects eligible for the draft and going to participate in the Combine this week. What about the next step? How badly do you want to get to the next level? I would frame all of my questions in regard to that. Even if I had him up at the chalkboard and had him diagramming plays or had him looking at video and say, tell me what you see here. Everything I would ask those prospects would be geared towards how badly do you want to excel? Not how badly do you want to be in the league, not how would you like to collect a paycheck in the NFL. How much do you want to excel in the NFL? How important is winning to you? That would be the focus of the questions I would ask. You may have some ideas on that, and if you do, give us a call. Phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. If you were in that combine interview room with the Bills Brain Trust, what questions would you want answered to those prospects? You may want to tailor it to a specific position. If it's a quarterback, you may have a different question than you would for an offensive lineman or a pass rusher or a linebacker or a wide receiver. You can do that if you'd like. But what if you got a chance to be in that interview room with the Bills decision makers, what questions would you want to ask that prospect sitting across the table from you? To me, it's all about how badly do you want it? And you'd have to, it wouldn't be one question. I mean, you could say, hey, how badly do you want it? They'll say, I want it real bad. No, more than that. How do you get to the kernel of truth? How do you find out exactly how important football is to these players, how willing they are to work to get to a certain level in their professional career? How badly do they want to win? And, how much do they want to put into it? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. What question would you ask those prospects here at the Combine? 803-0550. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. The scouts will tell you, the coaches will tell you, it's really one of the most important things they get out of the Combine, the medical tests and the one-on-one sessions with the prospects. That's really what it's all about here. Yeah, the stopwatch stuff is important. The running and lifting and jumping, that's important. I heard a great segment on the radio last night on network radio with Bill Polian, the former Bills general manager, when he talked about benchmarks for the various position groups. You know, you want somebody to do this many reps in the bench press. You want somebody to get this time or lower for this position group in the three cone drill. You want to see this time in the 40-yard dash. You want to see this mark on this, the high jump. Bill Polian talked, when I listened to him last night, talked about how important the long jump is for offensive linemen, a measure of explosion. So there was a lot there, and those things matter. Polian indicated that as a personnel guy, you don't make draft decisions based on essentially based on what number somebody puts up at the combine, because let's face it, all these players have been training for the last several months to excel in these drills that they're going to run here. But you do compare what they do with the benchmarks that you have set based on your NFL experience for those particular drills and a particular position group. So that's out there. That's part of it. The medical testing is extremely important, obviously. But most important, I think, are the one-on-one interviews. So let us know what you think. What questions would you ask of the prospects in the Bills room, in the Bills interview room, the next couple of nights here in Indianapolis? 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter if you have an answer for that. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. We are all combined up now. We'll get our chance to meet with the players tomorrow. Coming up a little bit later this hour, John Urschel. We've already been able to get in touch with him. He'll be joining us at 7:30. Big offensive lineman from Penn State, native of Williamsville, Canisius High School graduate. He was Mr. Canisius in his graduating class in 2009, went on to Penn State where he excelled on the football field and in the classroom. He's already got his bachelor's degree, got that in 3 years. He's got one master's degree and is working on another. He is a math whiz. He was the student athlete of the year in college football this past year. John Urschel is going to be joining us. He won the Campbell Trophy as the nation's top college football scholar last fall. He's going to be joining us tonight at 7:30. He's down here at the Combine tomorrow, and his day will start bright and early tomorrow with some of the testing and weigh-ins they do tomorrow. Chris Brown, our pal, the lead journalist from BuffaloBills.com, he'll be joining us tonight at 8 o'clock. We'll get his take on the Bills' approach to the Combine this week. And at 8:30, Jim Monas, who is the Bills Director of Player Personnel, he'll be with us to talk about his approach to the Combine here. He is the guy who's put in all the work getting ready for this Combine this week, and I'm sure he'll tell us that it didn't just start this week. They have a lot going on throughout the course of the year as they get ready for the Combine. But for now, the phone lines are open for your comments and questions at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Whatever you'd like to talk about, the phone lines are open. But the one thing that is on my mind is what goes on in those interview rooms with those prospects. And if you had a chance to be in that interview room with the Buffalo Bills, what question would you want to ask those prospects in there? All right, so as we said, the players start to filter in. We saw a couple of them today down at the Crown Plaza Hotel as we checked into our site here in Indianapolis. And the offensive linemen, the tight ends, and some of the specialists will be available for the media tomorrow here at the Combine. Mike Mayock, the draft guru from NFL Network, did a long conference call with reporters yesterday and touched on a variety of topics. We had some of his thoughts on the air last night. One question that came to Mike Mayock was about the Bills' approach and the Bills' defensive approach. A change, of course, in the defense this year as they go from Mike Patton's defense to Jim Schwartz's defense. And Mike Mayock from the NFL Network was asked if that change from Patton to Schwartz means the Bills look to draft a little bit differently on defense this year.
I think it's one of the situations where philosophically they're similar defensive coaches. They might get it done differently in an X and O perspective, but philosophically they're both attacking, tough defensive coordinators. And I think it's going to be, in this situation, more up to Jimmy to kind of learn what they've done the last couple of years as opposed to just bringing in completely different system and trying to get all the players to adjust to it. So I think you'll see a lot of what they had last year with a little bit of influence from Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really has a good sense yet of what to expect from the Buffalo defense, and that may account for some of the ambiguity in Mike Mayock's answer. Nobody really knows what to expect from the Jim Schwartz defense. Hey, let's work in a call about the question on the table. What questions would you ask of the Bills prospects? We have a call from Hamburg. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Dennis.
Hey, what's up? How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Listening to your comments, I'm old school. I've almost 60. I've watched football for years. I want to know if these guys are students of the game. I've noticed a lot of missed tackling. They just want to hit. Do they really understand the game and the nuances for the position that they're going to be drafted for?
How do you get at that? What questions in particular can you think of that you would ask to get at to get the answer to that question? Are you a student of the game?
By asking that question, if I would want to know, have they studied past players from the 50s and 60s and the 70s, not just current players, because I think there's been a big difference in how the game is played, and so they can understand the techniques that the coaches are going to be trying to teach them. And if you get a deer in the headlight look from them when you ask that question, you know they're not a student of the game. They're just an athlete there trying to get a paycheck.
Let me ask you this. How many of these 22, 23-year-olds here in Indianapolis this week do you think are familiar with NFL players from the 50s and 60s? I don't think very many.
I would say 10-15% at the most.
Yeah,
but if they're a true student of the game, if they have a hero that they've grown up watching, whether it's from the 70s or 80s or 50s and 60s, then they pay attention and seeing how the game has evolved.
Yeah. All right, that's a fair question. Are you a student of the game? I think that's a question to ask, and maybe you know that's I think one of the ways to get at that. I think is to as the Bills do, and many teams do. I heard, I think it was Billy Devaney on ESPN yesterday talking about how when he ran a room in the combine, you know, a team room. In the interviews, they and the Bills do this too. They get the player up at the chalkboard or have them watch video and explain by watching their team's video, their own play, what goes on here. What were you doing on this play? What's this assignment? What's that assignment? What's this guy next to you's assignment? I think that would be pretty indicative of whether a player was a student of the game or not. I do. I think it's unrealistic to think that a 22-year-old would have much of a sense of, and I believe me, I appreciate the old school aspect of it, but boy, it's hard to imagine that a kid who was born in 1992 would know a whole lot about what went on in the NFL in the 50s and 60s. And there was a lot of good going on in the NFL in the 50s and 60s, no question about that. And you're probably right about more attention to fundamentals then. Than there is now, or has been in the last several years. But, boy, I think it'd be a rare find to find a 22-year-old kid who had any sense at all of, you know, what the NFL looked like or how people played in the 50s and 60s. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Mark in Buffalo. Hi, Mark. Welcome. You're on the air.
How are you, Murph?
I'm good.
I think the first question you ask right off is, do you want to be a Buffalo Bill? Not like Marshawn Lynch, who didn't want to be a Buffalo Bill, or Jason Peters, who didn't want to be a Buffalo Bill. Do you really want to be a Buffalo Bill? That's the question you ask, Murph.
You know, Mark, let me ask you, because I thought about that, too. I'm glad you brought it up, because that occurred to me, and I didn't want to throw it out there. But it is an important question, and it is different, I think, for NFL players in Buffalo, New York. There's the weather, which, you know, we all know about the weather story. It's a smaller market. It's a different market. It's a different atmosphere, much more of a small-town atmosphere, and some players might not be as comfortable as that. I've heard players say that over the years, that they're not comfortable being, you know, big fish in the little pond that is Buffalo. So I think you're onto something. Is that kind of what you're talking about, Mark?
Exactly. The question is, right. And you know what? Be prepared. You want to come here and perform and be loved by the fans and be a Buffalo Bill. But if you want the nightlife and the glamour of the beach, like Rob Johnson and them, and I'm not picking on their persona, it's who they were. Then just tell me now so I don't waste a pick and you're gone 2 years from now. And didn't want to produce and then go and be one of the toughest running backs in the league in Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a match. I do think you're onto something, Mark, and that would be a question that I would want to get to the bottom of, asking some of these prospects, Mark. I think you're dead on. Is do you understand what it's like in Buffalo? Do you understand that we're a small city, that we have weather that's tough for long stretches of the calendar? You know, do you understand that it's just a different kind of atmosphere, that you're going to be watched and paid attention to, in both good and bad? And if you don't get the answers you're looking for, I think that would be something that I'd want to know when you go through these draft interviews. We're talking about the Combine. They have the meetings coming up tomorrow night and every night here. The teams do 15-minute sessions with the players that they submit on a list to the league. They go for 15 minutes. They blow the air horn. They go from one room in the Crown Plaza Hotel to the other. And the question out there for our listeners tonight, if you were in that interview room with the Buffalo Bills, what question would you ask? What would you want to know of these prospects? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. Here's Paul in Fort Erie. Hello, Paul. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph. How are you doing tonight?
Great.
All right. Well, a quick question for you. A little bit of a more like an icebreaker type question. You know, you get these kids. They're probably a little nervous with meeting with the big brass and stuff. So why don't you sit them down and just ask them, when it comes to building a snowman, are you a two-ball or a three-ball high guy?
Okay. I guess that would break the ice, so to speak. Yeah, good point. I think it's important, especially in certain positions, to get a sense if a guy totally can't handle winter weather or cold weather or winds. I mean, the Bills, let's face it, playing one of the windiest venues in the NFL. You'd want to know that. You'd want to get to the bottom of that. Keep in mind, these players have been coached up for these interviews. And we'll talk with John Urschel about this when he joins us in a little bit. I know John spent the last couple of months at the, I forget the name of the complex in San Diego, Carlsbad, California. I think it's Athletes Performance, and testing everything about the combine. They've gone through every single drill he'll do on the field, every single weightlifting drill he'll do on the field. And they also, I am certain, sit him down and pose mock questions to him. Here is what you're going to be asked at these meetings with teams. Here's the type of question you're going to be asked. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for that? And we'll ask John Urschel about that when he joins us a little bit from now. But they get coached up on that. And players, I think, prospects are aware. I think I heard somebody talking about this. You almost need to, and you talked about breaking the ice by asking the snowman question. I think you almost need to maybe throw the players off guard a little bit. You know, to throw them off guard, to break them out of their routine, their rehearsed pat answers, whatever it might take to do that. Because I would want to know the guy's real character as much as you can in 15 minutes and his real personality. Kathy in Lancaster. Hi, Kathy. You're on the air with us. How are you?
Hi. One thing I would ask them, I would say point blank, I said there's a lot of really good players here. What do you bring that makes you better than the next one?
Yeah, good question. I mean, would you want to hear the guy brag about himself, Kathy? Would you want to hear him, you know, talk big about himself?
No, I want to hear him say what he felt he would bring to the table that was better than the other equally good athletes there.
Yeah, it's a good question. I agree with you. That would be, I want a sense of what he, because these guys are all going to measure out, you know, fairly consistently from player to player. There's not going to be that wide a variance, especially, you know, when you get by the premium guys, the first rounders, the early premium picks. They're all going to have similar 40 times. You know, they're going to be kind of closely bunched together. So you'd want to know. Now, again, they're going to be coached up to give you the right rehearsed answer. And nothing, there is no substitute for the actual, you know, data that they'll get at the combine. Here's his height. Here's his weight. Here's his 40 time. Here's his time in the three-cone drill. Here's his bench press. You know, there's no substitute for that. And above all of this, the questions and the workouts and the drills that they do at the combine is the tape, the guy's college career. Here's what he put on tape as a college football player. And we'll ask Jim Monas about this when he joins us at 8:30 tonight. They always go back to the tape, I believe, these scouts. They always go back to what they see in practice and in game film, what the guy did in college. Here's how he plays. I mean, there's probably no better measure of what you're going to get than watching the guy play. So these are all kind of like supplemental issues. What, you know, they bench press, how many times they lift the bench press, what their 40 time is, what answers they give you when you get them on the blackboard. Kind of supplemental side issues, I believe. And the scouts will tell you, the personnel people will tell you, it's really about what do they put on tape? What have they put on tape throughout their college career? I think it's an interesting question. I mean, the combine is just amazing, I think, how it's grown in attention over the years. It's going to be televised live on NFL Network. We've got complete saturation coverage coming up on BuffaloBills.com all week long. People are into it, because it's the only part of the NFL that we have, let's face it, in the month of February. Let's go to Justin on a cell. Hi, Justin. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How are you this evening?
I'm okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on the last caller's question and your response, if you wanted to hear a player really boast about themselves in an interview. And I think I'm okay with that. I think the NFL is really a place for alpha males, and it takes a lot of confidence to bear up, especially as a rookie in this league.
Yeah, you would want to see a guy with a certain amount of confidence. I would want to see a guy, again, depending on the position, maybe every position, I'd want to see the guy with a bit of an edge, wouldn't you? Like, just a little bit of an angry edge, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I know Manziel's always in the news, and, you know, he walks a fine line of almost having too much. But I do like to see that in a player.
All right, Justin, thanks for calling. We'll squeeze in one more call here. Rich is on the line. Rich, where are you calling from tonight?
Buffalo Sewer. How's it going, guys?
Okay. How are you?
I got one for you.
Yeah.
What is your favorite aspect of football? Now, this thing can be taken in, like a winning type of attitude. My favorite aspect of football is to win. I love winning. That shows desire and determination. Whereas just to be part of a great team or just to be part of a great organization, that can be construed as I want money.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a good point there. Is that the answer you would you would not want to hear? Like, what's your favorite part of football?
I would not want to hear.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I recruit football players for college. I'm an open recruiter, and one of the things is I like defensive players that have the attitude they want to talk about themselves.
Yeah.
They don't want to get beat. Another question I ask, do you prefer playing bump and run, or do you prefer having, like, separation if you're a defensive player?
Yeah, and they can see that on tape, obviously. They can see what the guy's strengths are.
Well, yeah, you can see it on tape, but you can ask him what he prefers.
You can ask him,
if you play,
sure.
I got him defense.
Sure. That's a good point, Rich. You know, what your point about that question, What's your favorite part of football? Did you ever hear the famous, I think it's apocryphal, I don't know if he said it, but I love the story. Gilbert Perreault, when he played for the Sabres, and somebody asked him, Gilbert, what are the three best things about playing, or what are the three most important things about hockey? Anybody ever heard this story? He said, back check, forecheck, paycheck. It made me think of that when you talked about guys talking about money. All right, good stuff. We'll get back with more phone calls in a little bit. We're going to take a break now, and then when we return, we're going to be on the line with John Urschel, Canisius High School product, Williamsville native, Penn State graduate, working on his second graduate-level degree at Penn State University. John Urschel joins us on the line when we return. We're coming to you from the Combine, and our Combine coverage is presented by Napa Auto Parts. Visit your local Napa Auto Parts store for Napa know-how and all your car care needs. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
From the NFL Combine, the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, our coverage continues. Our Combine coverage presented by Napa Auto Parts. Visit your local Napa Auto Parts store for Napa know-how and all your car care needs. One of the great stories in the NFL Combine is a local story. And on the line with us right now is a young man who's at the Combine in Indianapolis getting ready to make his mark in the NFL. Canisius High School product, Penn State product, John Urschel on the line with us. John, thank you very much for being on the show with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
I read a tweet that you put out earlier this week that said, on my way to Indianapolis for the biggest job interview of my life. That's a good way to approach this, I think, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's all this really is a job interview, and it's an important one. So I want to come out here and impress.
What? Tell me about, you've been working out in San Diego, right, for the, what, the last month or so as you get set for the Combine?
For about the past 7 weeks, I've been at Athletes Performance in San Diego.
What kind of workouts do you do out there to get ready for the Combine, John?
Let me tell you, that's pretty much what we do all day. We train, keep good nutrition, take care of our bodies. It's 100% focus on training for the Combine and football in general out there, and it was great to be able to really immerse myself in that.
How different is that, John, from normal training, you know, to play Penn State football over the last few years?
I'd say it's very different in that when you're with a college team, you only have so many hours to train. You know, there's limits based on what the NCAA says you can do, and then there's also personal limits based off how much time you have when you have to balance academics as well.
And this time, it's like a job, right? It's, what, more than 8 hours a day, I would think, right, training for the Combine?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time training, but, man, it didn't feel like a job. It was really enjoyable. It was a great time for me down in San Diego to really improve on a lot of things. I got to work with offensive line coach Hudson Houck, a great, great guy. He coached in the NFL for nearly three decades, most notably with the Cowboys. I learned a lot of things from him, and it was just a great experience for me in general.
We're on the line with John Urschel, Buffalo product, who is at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. And let's talk about your Buffalo roots, John. From what I understand, you moved to Buffalo from Canada, right, at a pretty young age.
That's correct.
Where'd you come from in Canada?
I came from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Okay, moved to Buffalo. And what took you to Canisius High School in Buffalo?
Well, my mom really wanted the best for me, and Canisius is a great school. A great institution to prepare you for college and to teach you a lot of life traits about how to be a good man, how to carry yourself. And I'm eternally grateful that she sent me there because it was one of the best decisions she ever made for me. And I think I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for my experiences at Canisius.
While you were at Canisius, you won a pretty prestigious honor in your senior year, 2009. You were named Mr. Canisius. That's a big deal for guys who go to Canisius, isn't it?
That's still a big deal for me. I've picked up some hardware in the meantime, but that ranks up as high with anything else I have, and that really meant the world to me.
Why does that mean so much?
Because that's voted on by the teachers at Canisius, and also the students who decided that I epitomized what Canisius represented, being a man for others. And that's what I try to do in my daily life. And that's just a little reminder of where I came from and why I'm working as hard as I am. I really feel a drive to make something of myself.
John, coming out of Canisius, you had options, right, to go to schools, including some Ivy League schools, but you chose Penn State. Tell us why you made that decision.
Well, you know, I fell in love with the people there. The teammates that I have here are guys I'll never forget. They'll probably be, you know, my groomsmen at my wedding. It's a great locker room at Penn State, and it's not like that everywhere in Division I football. I recognize that. And my mother wasn't exactly pleased that I wasn't going to an Ivy League school, but she understood, and I told her that it was for the best, and I wasn't going to pass up that opportunity to play football in front of 106,000 every single Saturday.
Yeah. You may not have as much of an NFL opportunity had you gone to an Ivy League school, right? Do you think about that now?
No, you know, I don't think about that too much, but that's certainly true.
Hey, John, you weathered the storm there at Penn State as well in the midst of the Jerry Sandusky scandal, and I know some of your teammates left. You elected to stay. Tell me about those difficult times a couple of years ago when things really were kind of falling apart at Penn State.
Well, you know, I think saying that I weathered the storm might be putting it a little dramatically. It was, you know, we had our problems at Penn State, but honestly, there was never a time where we were struggling as a team. We just stuck together throughout the whole deal. And let me tell you, playing football these past 2 years have been the two most fun years of football I've had in my entire life. Just playing with guys I love, going out there on Saturdays, having fun. So trust me, I was very happy with my decision to stay there, and it wasn't a very hard one to make considering the great teammates I had at Penn State.
John, tell us about you as a player on the offensive line. What do you think your strengths are, and how did you improve in your time at Penn State?
I'd say my strengths are my explosiveness. I'm a good run blocker. Obviously, when you're talking about what I improved on at Penn State, that's a pretty open-ended question. When kids come out of high school, especially offensive linemen, they're extremely raw. So to ask what I improved on in particular is a very tough question. I improved my game just about everywhere since I got there, and it's just a testament to the position coaches I had who really worked with me day in and day out to make sure I could be the best football player I could possibly be.
You also, it's pretty well known, excelled in the classroom as well, John. Won the Campbell Trophy as the top college football scholar-athlete this past year. You graduated with a degree in mathematics, right, in 3 years at Penn State?
That's correct.
And with the football schedule, that had to be a lot of work. I mean, how hard was it to get a degree in 3 years while you're playing big-time college football?
It's not hard when you do what you love. I love playing football. I love doing math. And I really enjoyed the combination of the two throughout my 5 years at Penn State. And everything I did in terms of work ethic, it came easy. I didn't have to work a single day in my 5 years at Penn State just because I loved what I did.
What do you love about math so much?
You know, I love the beauty of it, to be honest. It's very, very elegant when you look at abstract theory, when you look at proofs. I love that there's an explanation behind everything, and that's something that I really appreciate about math.
Is there anything about that math approach that helped you in your approach to football when you, I don't know, break down video or diagram what went right, what went wrong on particular plays?
Well, I wouldn't say math helps directly, but I'd say, you know, having a strong set of quantitative skills certainly helps you as an offensive lineman where you need to be able to remember all your plays, remember the snap count. You need to be able to make adjustments at the line based off what the defense shows you, make adjustments after the snap in real time. So offensive line play takes some serious intelligence.
Yeah. Well, people always say that, right? Offensive linemen are some of the smartest players on the football team. John, you picked up one advanced degree, a master's degree in math, and the last I checked, you were working on a second master's degree?
That's correct.
And teaching as well. What courses were you teaching at Penn State?
Last spring, I taught geometry and trigonometry, and this fall, I taught vector calculus.
So you taught, you went to school and played football for Penn State, and it wasn't that much of a workload for you?
No, I loved every minute of it.
John, tell me about your approach to football now. And it's with a guy with your background and your obvious academic excellence, you know, do you think anybody is going to look at you and wonder how important football is to you? And I wonder if that question might even come up when you're at the Combine this week in Indy.
That's a reasonable question to ask me. Not knowing me, not knowing what I'm like, not having met me, that's a question I would ask. But I have no doubt that when scouts meet me, when the coaches meet me, they'll see immediately how much I love football. And I think it'll be immediately obvious to them where my priorities lie.
Sounds like you anticipate that sort of a question.
I think it's a reasonable question.
Yeah.
These coaches and these scouts are investing a lot of money in us, and they want to check out every single little thing about you that they can. And I think it's a reasonable question, but I don't think that's going to be something that they really focus on after meeting me, because that's not even really an issue.
Hey, John, is there some parts of the offensive line workouts that you are most excited about doing when you get on the field at Indianapolis at the Combine this week?
Well, you know, offensive line drills are fun, but there's no pads on here at the Combine, and that's what I enjoy the most. So I guess I'll just have to wait until I get picked up by a team.
So it wouldn't be like do you have a target in mind for the 40-yard dash or for, you know, the cone drill or anything like that?
Yeah, I certainly have targets in mind, but these are personal goals.
And what about the meetings that you'll have with teams at night? Tell me about that process and how ready you feel you are for that.
Yeah, we have meetings with the different scouts and coaches from the different teams every night, and I feel very prepared. Honestly, I'm just excited to get to talk to coaches, talk to scouts, and be myself. That's it. I know I'm a good football player. I'm a hard worker, and I think that will come out when I talk with these scouts and coaches. So it's not that I have a lot to prepare for. I'm just excited for the opportunity to get in front of these people.
It's an opportunity of a lifetime, isn't it, John?
Absolutely.
Well, John, best of luck to you this week at the Combine. Thank you for spending time with us tonight. Good luck to you. We'll catch up with you in Indianapolis this week. Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
John Urschel, Buffalo product, Canisius High School and Penn State graduate, winner of the Campbell Trophy, is the nation's top college football scholar athlete, offensive lineman from Penn State. He's at the NFL Combine this week, getting set to work out on the field and meet those scouts and coaches in the meeting rooms at the nighttime meetings in Indianapolis. Our thanks to John Urschel for joining us. Our Combine coverage is presented by Napa Auto Parts. Visit your local Napa Auto Parts store for Napa know-how and all your car care needs. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from the NFL Combine on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Again, our thanks to John Urschel, Penn State product, the winner of the Campbell Trophy as the outstanding college football scholar athlete this year. We wish him well at the Combine. He's, you know, he's geeked up for it. You can tell that. He is ready to go. Obviously, he put in his work. So I subscribed to Our Lad's Guide to the NFL Draft, and they have a pre-Combine report on many of these players, most of these players, actually. And as far as John Urschel is concerned, he's ranked by Our Lads as the sixth best guard in this year's class. And this is what they say about him. Urschel had a breakout senior year with his aggressive and physical work-to-finish attitude, was awarded the Campbell Trophy as college football's top scholar athlete. It was no surprise that the three-time All-American Big Ten lineman took good angles to the second level and cut off linebacker's pursuit. John Urschel, he's got size, obviously. Last check, he was 6'3", 304 pounds, but they'll measure him and weigh him again tomorrow and send him on his way. I wish him well. I think, he'll meet a lot of the media tomorrow, and I'm sure a lot of the Buffalo media will want to have a chance to talk with him tomorrow, but
Our thanks to him for joining us tonight on the radio show. Coming up after the top of the hour, we're going to talk with Chris Brown, lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com. He is here at the Combine. We'll check in with him and get his pre-Combine thoughts. And later on, 8:30, Jim Monas, who is the Buffalo Bills Director of Player Personnel, will let us know what's on his mind as he gets ready to look at all of these prospects. 330-plus NFL prospects assembled here in Indianapolis. One more hour to go. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Coming to you live from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis tonight on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like this kind of party, baby.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
Hey, hold hands. Let's go. Check it out.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We are live at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, working out of the studios of WXNT, CBS Sports Radio in Indy, and Entercom Station. Our thanks to them and engineer Mike Raby for setting us up here tonight. One more hour to go. We're here all this week, and we've got complete Combine coverage. The players start filtering through the media room tomorrow, so we'll have a lot of interviews with some of the players coming up tomorrow. Offensive linemen, tight ends, and specialists tomorrow making their way through the media room. We also expect to talk with Bills head coach Doug Marrone tomorrow, get his view on what the Bills are up to and how they approach the Combine. So that's coming up tomorrow. All your Combine coverage is available at BuffaloBills.com, as a matter of fact. And right now, if you go to BuffaloBills.com, look for Bills Focus. Chris Brown and I have a video preview of what to expect, some of the prospects to look at here at the Combine. So you can check that out at BuffaloBills.com. This is the place to go, though, for Combine coverage, this place, the radio, and BuffaloBills.com. Again, coming up later on this hour, we're going to talk with Jim Monas, who is the Bills Director of Player Personnel. He'll be joining us live, or he'll be joining us a little bit later on this hour. And Chris Brown expected to join us momentarily. We had a moment or so to talk with John Urschel, the offensive lineman from Penn State and Canisius High School. Our thanks to him. He's the one who got me thinking about the questions in the media room, because as you heard him say, he fully anticipates he's going to be asked the question, how important is football to you? One of the questions that team, not media room, but one of the questions that teams will be asking him. How important is football to you? And we anticipate that, you know, that's one of the questions that he'll have to answer. Maybe one of the questions that all of these prospects get asked when they meet with the teams here at the Combine. We put the question out on the table for you. If you were in that meeting room with the Buffalo Bills tomorrow night or Friday night or Saturday night here at Indy, what question would you pose to the prospects in there? Give us a call if you have an answer to that. 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. And we'll put that question to the guy who joins us live on the line right now from the other part of Indianapolis and downtown Indianapolis. He is the lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com, Chris Brown. Hello, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Murph. Good evening.
You sick of talking to me after 8 hours in the Toyota minivan all the way down here?
Better than talking to you than trying to use some form of radio that neither of us subscribe to.
I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You didn't like the radio selections in the car on the way down?
It was too hard to find anything, man.
Oh, I had the station for you. I told you, I had the station. Classic rock. Have you been taking a nap, Chris? You sound like you're napping when I'm over here slaving over a hot microphone.
No, I'm not napping. I actually just had another coffee. We're powering through here.
Okay. Chris Brown is on the line.
Ready for the grind.
The grind starts tomorrow. If you have a comment or a question for Chris Brown, the phone lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's talk some Combine. Chris, I put this question out on the table for our listeners. I want to ask you, if you had a chance to sit in the meeting room with the Bills brain trust tomorrow night or the rest of this week, meeting some of those prospects, what would you look to get from those players? I know they want to see their football intelligence, but how would you get to that? What type of questions would you ask in that room, Chris?
I don't know. I mean, I really want to know what kind of person I'm getting. I think, you know, all the film stuff that you're watching, you can kind of get a pretty good idea on the caliber of player. But, you know, I think we've seen enough of this over the years, Murph, where some super talented players come through the doors at One Bills Drive, but do they really know what it's like to be a pro? And I think it's a shock for some players, and I think that's why work ethic's so important. So I don't know, I might ask them what they do on their off day. You know, I might ask them, you know, what are you doing once the season's over and you're not getting ready for the combine? You know, where you're kind of compelled to be in top physical shape to make the best first impression with pro scouts when they see you here during this week. So I want to kind of try to get a feel for what they're doing, either A, when they're not required to be doing football-specific stuff, or B, you know, what are you doing when you are away from the field? You know, do you have other hobbies and interests that either A, pertain to the game, or, you know, actually subscribe to some critical thinking? So, I don't know, I just want to kind of find out what kind of person you're getting. And I think, you know, a guy like Jadeveon Clowney is a perfect example. I mean, there's a guy who over the past year has been criticized for kind of jaking it a little bit because his draft stock was pretty much set after, you know, his sophomore season the year before. You know, and after seeing what he did on the field this year where, you know, you can kind of question his effort, you know, from series to series, game to game. You know, am I getting an effort guy or am I getting a guy that's going to be happy as soon as he's a millionaire and kind of coast? So I think those are the things you want to get to the bottom of if you're an NFL GM this week.
That's a lot to ask in a 15-minute interview, right? I mean, I know what you mean, and I agree with you in many respects, but there's a lot of spade work, a lot of pre-combine work that has to go into answering those kind of questions.
Yeah, and I think that's why scouts have to make the relationships that they do with coaching staffs, you know, in their regions. You got to find a guy on that staff that you feel you can trust, that you feel is not just pumping up a prospect because he's tight with the prospect. You know, he's willing to give you a straight answer because you've got a good relationship with him. And that might be the toughest part of scouting, establishing those relationships where you feel that when you got to make a call on a guy, you can go to a coach and get the answer you're looking for and not worry about whether or not it's sugarcoated, you know, because this guy trusts you and you trust him.
We're live on the line with Chris Brown, lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com. We're both in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. If you have a comment or question for myself or Chris, phone lines are open at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Chris, over the last couple of years, you've heard Buddy Nick say this. Doug Whaley says it. We'll ask Jim Monas about it a little bit later on this hour. I think the Bills and several other teams approach those 15-minute meetings in the hotel tomorrow night and the rest of the week, they approach them as trying to gauge football intelligence. I wonder how big a hurdle that is. I mean, I know the routine, they put, you know, if it's an offensive lineman, they put the guy's video up, tell us what you're doing here. I wonder how much you can get out of a meeting like that and what those decision makers are looking for when they try to gauge football intelligence.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going to pull out three or four plays, and I mean, we've heard some of the players when we interview them, you know, in the media room through the course of this week where, you know, some of them will say, they showed me probably my six worst plays that I had last season.
Yeah.
And I think some teams do that on purpose. Number one, to see if they can learn from their mistakes, and then number two, to see just how bothered they are when they're not doing their job. I mean, does it just kind of roll off their back, no big deal, or are they visibly frustrated having to watch it again?
Yeah.
I think I'd almost rather see the latter, but I think a lot of teams show them the negative just to see how they're going to react to a negative situation because you know they're going to come up in the NFL, especially in a player's rookie season. You know, they're going to have busts on plays. You know, is this a guy that's going to be able to, you know, handle the adversity, learn from the mistake, and not repeat it? Or is he going to become such a hothead about it that he's going to lose his head and screw up on the next two plays too? So, you know, I think there's value in going negative in those situations.
I think that's a good point. You make a really good point. In fact, you might want to detect if a player starts to point fingers. Well, you know, that was his fault, not mine. That would be a red flag, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, no question. So, you know, I think, you know, some of these teams also, I think they know, you know, this day and age, the agents kind of script the answers for, you know, their clients. So a lot of the answers are canned, and so I think sometimes they almost have to go good cop, bad cop in the room, you know, to throw them off a little bit. You know, there's certain questions that they're expecting, especially if they have some questionable off-the-field issues, that they know are going to be hit on in those 15 minutes. And so, you know, they might change the conversation or interrupt them, pound the table, stand on a chair. I mean, they might do anything just to see how the player reacts to something that they could not have prepared for. And I don't know, it's a question that I want to pose to Doug Whaley, because I'm really curious just how off the wall they have to go nowadays, because, you know, 15 years ago, you know, a lot of these players, you know, weren't prepared for that kind of a setting, so it was easy to get a gauge on them. Now, you know, you practically have to stand on your head to kind of throw a player off these days.
Live on the line with Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com. We're both at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Hey, Chris, this combine is significant for the Bills personnel department because it's new faces. It's Doug Whaley putting his stamp on the franchise, his first combine as the general manager of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's obviously been a help that he's been in the fold, you know, as the assistant general manager prior to that, and, you know, really got a sense of, you know, how Buddy Nix did things. Obviously, he's going to put his own stamp on it, as you said. And I think he's excited about having that kind of authority. I think he's waited for this his whole football career, you know, as a personnel man. And now he has an opportunity to do that, and he's surrounded himself with guys that he trusts in Kelvin Fisher and Jim Monas. So, you know, I think it's an exciting time for them. And I think they've been, you know, kind of handed a roster that doesn't have nearly the holes that it did 2 or 3 years ago. So I think it puts them in an advantageous situation to succeed, coupled with the fact that you have 100 extra underclassmen giving you an extra 3 rounds of talent, essentially. And, you know, I think we've even heard, you know, some of the experts out there saying if you have a top 20 pick this year, it's like a top 10 pick. So sitting there at 9, I mean, you're almost in a can't-miss situation.
Well, okay, so that takes us to the Bills' needs and what they're looking for as we head into the draft, and in particular this weekend into the combine, Chris. Do you take him at face value when Whaley, I mean, he told us at the Senior Bowl, he told you at the Senior Bowl, that they're going to really go for the best player. They don't feel like they have a crying need at any particular position. Do you see it the same way when you look at this Buffalo roster?
Well, I think that's accurate when you say crying need. I mean, I don't think they're in dire straits at any one position. I mean, could they use another linebacker or two? Sure. Could they, you know, use a big wideout who's open even when he's not open? Certainly. Could they use an offensive tackle? Yes. But can they get by with what they have? I think you can make the argument that they can. I mean, obviously, you might have to sign a couple of guys back to be able to safely make that argument, you know, but it's not a situation where you're saying, oh my gosh, they're dead, they're really in trouble at three positions. I mean, I think we all know where they could fill some holes where and upgrade the talent, you know, but I don't think there's a crying need anywhere. So I would tend to agree with Doug Whaley, but I think everybody would like to see, you know, an upgraded offensive tackle, especially knowing that Eric Pierce is entering the last year of his contract and is going to turn 32 before the season starts. And, you know, linebacker help is certainly needed. You know, Arthur Moat's contract is up, and he was kind of a role player for them. You know, Nigel Bradham, I still don't know if they know exactly what they're getting there, and there are probably going to be some scheme changes. And, there's talk about possibly moving Kiko to the outside, so you might need an inside guy. And, you know, what kind of front is Schwartz going to predominantly play? So those are all questions that go into the thinking there. And, you know, the receiver position is one where they want to add some size because, as Doug Whaley has said more than once this offseason, big wins. Now, fortunately for the Bills, I mean, tackle and wide receiver are two of the deeper positions in this draft.
Yeah, I want to get to some of those positions. We're on the line with Chris Brown, lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com. We're broadcasting live from the Combine. We have a call from Mark in New Jersey. Hi, Mark. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, John. Hi, Chris. Just like you said, the receiver position, O-line, very deep. A position nobody's talking about is running back. C.J. Spiller, I think he's in an option year. I don't know if it's a team or player option. And then, you know, Fred's age is what it is. And Marone has wanted to add a big running back. That hasn't been a position nobody's talked about. And seemed like what Eddie Lacy did, Le'Veon Bell, guys that are just kind of mismatches in the run game. Could you envision the Bills investing a mid-round pick in a big running back like that?
It's funny you mentioned that, Mark. We had this discussion in the long car ride today, kind of, didn't we, Chris?
Yeah, and I think there's a very real possibility that that does happen. And, you know, I think the Bills, with the devaluing of running backs you know, in this era of passing attacks in the NFL, actually can benefit because it is something that you have to believe they want to add. I mean, Tashard Choice is no longer on this roster. I know they had Ronnie Wingo on the active roster the second half of the season, but, you know, I don't think he's going to light the world on fire. So, you know, I do think that they will take a long look at a possible running back in the middle round, somewhere between 3 and 5, and you can still get a pretty good quality running back there. You know, and as I said, the premium now is on receivers and corners because, you know, offenses are throwing so much, and offensive tackles are up there too to pass protect, and obviously quarterbacks. So, you know, running backs 30 years ago were the first guys that would be taken off the board. It's completely flipped now, and so what that does is it pushes the talent further down. So come round 3 or 4, when the Bills are probably considering a running back, there's going to be a pretty good crop of players left. So, you know, I think advantage Bills in that situation. And, yeah, I think I would expect them to go in the draft to look for that because they need youth there.
Mark, thanks for your call. Chris Brown is on the line with us. A few more minutes if you have a comment or question about the combine, the draft. The phone lines are open at 803-0550 or outside Buffalo toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Offensive line, Chris, there are three, it appears, premium offensive tackles. And sitting at number 9, I would think the Bills have a decent shot at getting one of those three. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I think, again, what's working in their favor there is the whole quarterback situation. I mean, you've got arguably 4 quarterback needy teams picking ahead of the Bills. I mean, I think you can throw the Raiders in that mix, you know, with Houston and Cleveland and Jacksonville. You know, the Raiders are seemingly looking for a quarterback longer than the Bills were before they took E.J. Manuel last year. So, you know, those teams are all picking in the top 5, and I think at least 2 of them will take a quarterback in those top 5 picks. And what that does is it pushes down that other talent that the Bills are looking for. And, you know, I think there's a chance St. Louis could take one of the tackles. Atlanta might take one of the tackles because they have to improve pass protection from Matt Ryan. And there's a chance, you know, maybe a Tampa takes one, you know, at 7. But, yeah, odds are that one of the top 3 tackles will get down there to them. And, you know, I think they'd be pretty happy if they could get one of those guys. Now, a story we're going to be putting up on BuffaloBills.com tomorrow says if things don't fall that way, you know, Bills fans really shouldn't panic because tackle, you know, as we said, is one of the deeper positions in the draft this year. In fact, Mike Mayock on a national conference call yesterday is of the opinion that you could still get a starting tackle in the 3rd or 4th round this year. It goes that deep. And again, we point to the underclassmen with 98 of them, you know, part of the draft pool this year.
Chris, is it a pipe dream to think that Sammy Watkins, the wideout from Clemson, might be there for the Bills at number 9?
Yeah, I mean, boy, I mean, I'm not going to tell you not to dream. I mean, I'd love to see him there sitting at 9 because I think if he's there at 9, you know, they're running up with the card. I mean, they're going to hand the card to C.J. Spiller to get it up that fast. So, you know, I just think he's just the consensus top talent at wide receiver, and even though he's only 6'1", he plays much bigger than that. He's got to be, I'm not going to pretend that I've seen 50 years of football, but I've seen a good amount of football, and I've seen what these big receivers have done in this league, and I don't know if I've seen anybody with a stiff arm like him. I mean, he's got a stiff arm like running backs have stiff arms, and just seeing him push defenders away from him to get yards after the catch is just so impressive to me. It's something that's very rare that you see in receivers. And, man, if he's there, I think they have to take him. They don't have a choice. I mean, that's an example of best player on the board, no-brainer, take the guy, not to mention the fact that you'd like to add, you know, a big-time player there. So yeah. Does he get there? Boy, I don't know. I mean, I really think he's a top-5 talent. If he gets to 9, I'd be pretty surprised. But stranger things have happened. And, again, with those quarterbacks in the mix there, you just never know how far down some of that top flight talent like a Watkins can get pushed down.
Well, how about this scenario? Say Watkins is gone. Say the 3 tackles are gone. The Bills are sitting there at 9. They did it last year. Maybe they move down.
I think if Watkins is off the board and the 3 tackles are gone, I think they will move down. Because I think then the next thing you're looking at is perhaps one of the top linebackers in the draft, and I think 9 might be a little early for a guy like a C.J. Mosley. Who's got a little bit of an injury history. I don't know if you want a guy with a little bit of an injury history going in the top 10. I think, you know, you push back maybe to the 13 to 16 range, and you might still be able to get him. I think, you know, then the tight end, Eric Ebron, comes into play. I was just watching some film of him here on my laptop, and I mean, he's certainly an impressive talent. I'm not a huge fan of drafting tight ends in round one, but, you know, I think you got to decide whether or not he's a special Vernon Davis type. If he is, then, you know, fine, take him there in the middle of round one. But, yeah, I mean, I think if Watkins is gone, the three tackles are gone, I think trading down is definitely in play for the Bills.
All right, we're way ahead of ourselves. Last question, Chris. This week, the next few days at the Combine, what player or players are you most excited about finding a little bit more about it? Who's that receiver you were gushing about in the car on the way down here?
I like, I don't think he's a fit for the Bills necessarily,
yeah.
But he's a guy that just makes plays. I mean, Bruce Ellington, the receiver from South Carolina, he was also the point guard on their basketball team. He's only about 5'10 and 190, but, man, he's just a guy that makes plays, and he's fun to watch because when the game's on the line, he just seems to turn up, make a play, get a key first down, and they're not just, you know, routine plays. I mean, he makes some eye-popping type plays with his athleticism. I really like him as a player, and, you know, his cousin is Andre Ellington, who's the running back for the Cardinals, so there's some good, you know, NFL bloodline history going there. I love Jake Matthews. I just think he's so polished and refined, so I'd like to hear more from him and see what he's about, but I also want to take a look at some of these second and third round tackle options, like a Brandon Thomas from Clemson or a Morgan Moses from Virginia. I want to see just what's available for them. You know, Antonio Tiny Richardson from Tennessee, who's anything but tiny at 356 pounds. So there's some linemen that I really want to get a hold of. And even that Alabama kid, Cyrus Kwanjo, because he comes from Cameroon. So he's kind of an interesting storyline off the field in terms of upbringing.
Chris, thanks for this. We'll talk. I'm sure we'll talk over the next few days. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I'll be seeing a lot of you, sir.
Yes, we will. Chris Brown, lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com. You can tell he's been doing his homework, getting ready for the Combine. We'll be there tomorrow talking to some of these prospects, the offensive linemen front and center. We'll have a lot more on that coming up on tomorrow night's show. And, of course, complete Combine coverage from Chris up on our website, BuffaloBills.com. Coming up, we'll talk with the guy who is now the Bills' new director of player personnel, Jim Monas, who got the job last spring, now going into the Combine for the first time as an NFL player personnel director. He's coming up next. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live tonight from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the NFL Scouting Combine this week in Indianapolis. And joining us is the Bills Director of Player Personnel, Jim Monas. Jim, thank you very much for coming by.
Good to see you again, John. Yeah.
It's been almost a year since you got the job. How's that year gone for you? What do you think?
It's been great. But adjusting to the weather has been the biggest thing.
The winter doesn't quit.
It doesn't stop.
But tell me about what you've done in that last year and how you spent most of the last, it's about 11 or 10 months since you got the job.
Job-wise, it's been great. You know, we felt like we had a really productive fall during the season as far as getting guys off other teams' practice squads and really diving into other rosters with the Ty Pals, the Stephon Charles. Those guys are really intriguing guys. And now it takes the free agent process and the draft process. So we've been busy the whole year.
There's the combine to many fans, I think, signals the start of a new year of personnel. But for you, it's got to be almost the wrap-up of what you've done all season long in personnel.
I think that's a lot of people always say that now it's your time or whatever. And we're always like, well, we've been doing this all year. Like, this is just, you know, it's a whole process, and it ends in May.
Tell me what the college scouting department does during the course of the year. It's going back to, you know, the start of the college football season.
Our scouts are on the road nonstop. They go to games on Saturdays. They're at schools every day of the week. So they've been nonstop. And our guys did a great job this year with the amount of juniors coming out. We were well covered.
And so, when they're out there scouting during the course of the year, not knowing what juniors are going to declare, do they keep their eye on the underclassmen as well?
Yeah, you try not to pay too much attention to it. But, you know, people talk, but you're really concentrating on the seniors. And then, you know, once the season ends, they all declare. So you have plenty of time.
During the year, when the college scouts are out there, tell me about the collection of data. They phone in reports? They email reports? How does that work?
On the computer, it's all sent in every Sunday. They send all their work in. And then, you know, Doug Whaley and myself will look at all that and kind of helps us guide us through who we're looking at.
So you've got how many players in that database? How many college players?
Oh, my gosh. It's got to be, I mean, talking about guys that are prospects and not prospects, they probably look at close to 800 guys, I would think, as a staff.
And you, that's all sorted out and kept in your computers upstairs at One Bills Drive. And then you go back and review as you get closer to a combine like this?
Sure. We just had draft meetings about 2 weeks ago. So we went through everything. And we have an initial board set up. So, yeah.
What goes on in those draft meetings? Are the scouts here?
That's the scouts' time, yeah. They come in and that's their time to shine. They talk to Doug and myself and Kelvin Fisher. And we listen to their opinions and take everything they have to offer and then get the board up. And now it helps Doug and I, so we go on with this process.
Do you feel when you're putting the board up, are you flying blind sometimes? I mean, you know what, you can put a grade on a guy, but you're not quite sure what somebody else might think of him, or how much is that?
There are guys on the board that, for instance, I haven't seen yet or Doug hasn't seen, but that's fine. You know, we'll take their opinions and now we'll look at them.
How many on the board? How deep does it go?
We're going to be around between 175, I think, on the draft board.
So what does that take us through, four or five rounds, maybe?
Mm-hmm. That's how you kind of want it. I mean, that's a good number.
And the board is set now, but it will change between now and May 8th,
right? There'll be changes.
How does it change?
It'll change based on guys maybe Doug Whaley and I haven't seen, or now we'll start to watch, and it'll help us stack guys. It's more stacking than it is drastic changes.
And the board is set up regardless of position, right? You don't
set it by position, by round, and then, you know, as it gets closer to the process, then we try to narrow it down to, you know, top 50, you know, and all that, how we like them. And like I said before, the stack is important.
And are there different boards by round, by position?
Just one board.
Mm-hmm. But now it is set up what? Tell me again.
It's every
prospect.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. By position. Yes.
Okay. Now you go to the combine. Tell me about your typical day at the combine. What will you do down there?
We call it Groundhog Day. It's the same day every day out there. Yeah. You get up, you go to the height and weights, then you go, you time 40s, watch them run, then you watch them work out, and the next group comes in. And so it starts at about 7 a.m., you know, done around, I think, usually around 3 p.m. Then you get a couple hours, and you get the interview starting at 6 o'clock.
When you go in the morning, you're looking at measurements, right?
Heights, yeah, weights. Yeah. We like to go in there. You just like to see how guys look physically. Sometimes there's certain triggers that you see that might be alarming or not, you know, just see guys how they look physically. But then, and that's really what the combine is in general.
And what about the workouts themselves? The different position groups go at different times. You must have different skill sets you're looking at for each position.
Yeah, exactly. So they keep it, you know, at least you can see each guy go one after the other at the same position, do the same drills. But you got to be careful with the combine. I mean, it's
why is that?
Well, just the big number. Everybody wants the 40 time and who benches what. But at the end of the day, you got to study the film.
Yeah. You keep a clock on 40 times?
We'll have guys that do that. Yeah.
And it's also timed officially.
And they officially time it. They have electronic, they have handheld, everything.
Yeah. And which time do you use?
Well, we'll use our times. Our scouts will time it, and we'll average it out and come up with our time. Yeah.
You said you do all this, and then you have the meetings at night. You're involved in the meetings with the
interview process? Yeah. Our coaches are involved in that as well. And usually what we really want to accomplish there is get a feel for their football knowledge. Our coaches will run those interviews and just talk football with the guys. We'll show videos of their plays from college, have them kind of talk you through it and see how smart they are.
And what are you looking for at different position groups? Say an offensive lineman walks in there, you show a video of his play. What do you ask him? What do you want him to tell?
Every guy's different. You just want to be able to know that at least they know what their job is at their position. And if they know more than that, that's great. But there's, you know, it's hit or miss. It's different for every guy.
At quarterbacks, do you expect them to know the whole?
Everything.
Yeah. And how long are those? They're 15-minute
15
sessions.
Minutes. They keep you 15 minutes. And that's usually a good, you know, that's enough time to get a good feel.
Yeah. In those meetings, Jim, it's not about tell us about yourself. Tell us about your school. Tell us about your friends.
Not for us. We know all that. Our scouts have done all that work. So
When have they done that?
During the fall. That's what they do. When they go to the colleges, they're trying to find out as much as they can about those players, their backgrounds, who they hang out with, their work ethic, all that stuff.
And when you get them in the meeting room, are there any triggers that make you think trouble here? We maybe should take a longer look at this game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'll look at those. If they can't kind of tell you what the play is or what they're looking at or what the, you know, if they're an offensive guy, what are they seeing on defense? What are their key? I mean, there's certain things we're always waiting to hear what they say.
And they're looking at their video. Do you
yeah,
ever show them
watching,
Buffalo Bills video?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Just like, because that's what they know. They know their team.
Yeah.
So if they don't know that.
Yeah, then they're in trouble.
That's a concern.
And you wrap up those meetings and you go back the next day and look at more workouts. And it's got to be a grind during the course of the week, right? Your eyes glaze over a little bit?
I think everybody involved in the combine, they get there, next thing you know, it's Tuesday and you're leaving. I mean, it's just one big cycle.
What's the benefit of the combine for you?
Oh, for me, it's indicators. I always use the word indicators. Guys that maybe I didn't think were fast, ran fast. Or guys I thought were slow, ran. You know, there's just something that, hey, maybe I need to go back and pay more attention to him. He's faster than I thought or slower than I thought.
But the primary thing for you is the game film, how they play.
Exactly. Always go back to the game film.
And what do you look – when you go to the game film, and you how do you compare what you see at the combine? Because it's different. I mean, you're talking about the fall to, you know, February, the end of February. Guys may have changed. Their body types may have changed. Their workout regimen may have changed.
There's no question. I mean, training has advanced so much. These guys are in great shape now for the combine.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. As far as indicators go, you just won't always go back to the tape.
And that'll tell you what kind of player he is.
That's him as a player.
Tell me the process after the combine. What happens next? You also, in your job as director of player personnel, you have to deal with pro personnel, which comes up, what, March 12th?
Yeah, start of March. I think March 8th
March
to
8th.
11th, you can start the negotiating. 11th, I think, is official date. But, yeah, I mean, we've had those meetings, too. So we're ready to roll both free agency and the draft. But for the college guys, the pro days start right away in March.
Will you go to pro days?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big believer in going to as many as I can.
And
so.
What do you look at there? What do you
Once again, for? It's being around these guys for a whole day. It's seeing them compete, seeing just – I just like being around them, seeing who they interact with, really seeing them as people too.
Is it tough, Jim, when you go to those pro days and you're tripping over other NFL scouts and NFL people?
It's a herd. We travel in herds.
Right.
It's a lot of people, and everybody's looking at the same guys. So it's there's a process to it. I think everybody's used to it that's been around.
How much sharing of information is there?
At this point, there won't be much. I think everybody talks on the road. Scouts talk to each other. They see each other. Hey, have you been here? You've been here. But at this point, it's the information's out there. I mean, as far as combine, you know, it's not like anything's hidden.
In your job, supervising all of the personnel, you have Kelvin Fisher supervising the college scouting.
Yep.
Is his job similar to yours, or what has he been doing?
Keeps it organized, really. He helps me tremendously as far as keeping the scouts organized, as far as helping them with their schedules, keeping track of their grades and stuff like that, which is a real help for me and Doug.
And the combine, is he doing essentially the same thing you were doing?
Yeah, he'll be out there doing, you know, we'll all kind of be watching together and, you know, just talking through guys.
And interaction with the coaching staff. You do some of that at the combine.
That'll be a lot, too. Well, some of our coaches will be working the drills. Some will be in the suite watching it with us. So.
And how does that work? What do they tell you? I like this guy. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we've assigned our coaches players already, kind of guys we've targeted, and they're looking at them. They're in the process of doing that now. So they'll tell you who they like, who they don't like.
Hey, Jim, what kind of a class? You mentioned the underclassmen, 98 underclassmen. What has that done to this draft class this year? Has it increased the quality?
I think it's increased the depth, the depth of it. And, you know, I don't know. Every year is so different at the top. You know, there's years where it's just loaded, and there's years where it might not be worth the star potential. But I think with this draft, you see a lot of depth.
And those 98 underclassmen, most of them going to play in the NFL, would you think?
That'd be interesting. We're going to have to – that's one we keep studying as we go, just to see what percentages. Is it getting better or worse? But I think guys are just more, you know, they're inclined to come out now. They want to get in the league.
Yeah. Are there question marks about the underclassmen in general because of their lack of experience? I mean, do you put a mark next to them saying this guy doesn't have the experience of it?
I wouldn't say experience. I would just say it's more talent or not talent.
Yeah. Experience doesn't matter that much.
I think 3 years is enough if they're good players and not.
What position groups seem to be strong this year in the draft?
For sure, it's offensive line is really strong. Running back's pretty strong. Receiver's pretty strong. It hasn't been big defensive-wise. We haven't seen a ton of top defensive line talent that you usually see.
Doug Whaley told us at the Senior Bowl he believed that the Bills were in a position to maybe draft for the best available now because he thought the key positions at least were pretty well solidified. Talk about that if you would and your approach going into the draft.
I think if you approach every draft like that, it's a good way to go. You got to be real careful about, I always call it tunnel visioning, or you know, you put yourself into a hole as far as if you just want one position. You know, you can make mistakes that way.
So how do you do that? I mean, how do you fight the tendency to say, hey, we need a tackle, we need a guard?
It's tough because you don't need a tackle, but there's one that's highly rated, but you need a corner who's not as good as that tackle. I mean, why wouldn't you just take the better player and take the tackle? But that's the age-old debate.
Yeah. Do coaches typically push for the need as opposed to the best available?
They will.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to push back.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I think the NFL, I think you see most structures are you have your GM making decisions. you know, coach makes decisions on game day. So.
What's this been like for you, your first year and your lead up to your first draft as a personnel director? I know you've had extensive experience in the league, but how much more responsibility do you feel? How much more fun is it for you this
year? It's been a lot more fun, and I've just been excited about the opportunity. Working with Doug Whale, he's been great. I mean, learning from him, and it's just been – everything's been a good learning experience, but I've also been excited about it.
Where do you feel your team is personnel-wise?
Oh, I mean, we're excited. I mean, we know we're close. I mean, nobody wants to hear that until you start winning. But, you know, we can look around the league and say, hey, we're as good as these teams at these positions. And, you know, we just got to – but, I mean, obviously every team has holes, too, and we know we have some to fill.
Good luck to you this week, Jim. Thanks for coming by.
John, thanks.
Jim Monos is the Bills Director of Player Personnel, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Sometimes you got to read the tea leaves, and talking to Jim Monos on the show a minute ago, he did say offensive line is deep, and we'll see how it plays out for the Buffalo Bills. The offensive linemen will be through the media room tomorrow. They kick things off here at the Combine. The offensive linemen go through measurements and medical exams and meet the media, do their interviews at night. We'll have coverage of that coming up tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. If you missed portions of our show tonight, if you missed John Urschel, the Western New York product, or Chris Brown, or Jim Monos, you can pick them up on BuffaloBills.com in a little bit. We'll have the replay of tonight's show. Our Combine coverage is presented by Napa Auto Parts. Visit your local Napa Auto Parts store for Napa know-how and all of your car care needs. Tomorrow night, we're again live, 7 to 9 p.m., and Bills head coach Doug Marrone scheduled to join us tomorrow, so make sure you tune in for that. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer, Mike Jafari. Our engineer here in Indianapolis is Mike Raby. Our producer, the Bills director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. On the air from Indy tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from the NFL Scouting Combine on Buffalo Bills Radio.